This story that was read for us this morning is considered by Charles Dickens one of the greatest storytellers ever, to be one of the greatest stories ever told throughout the pages of human history. It is a story that has spread across the boundaries of human culture, as people have shared it with words, with ink, in paint. And this story has become immortalized on the hearts of people all over the world, from Africa, Europe, Asia, South America, because it is a story that connects deeply with our human experience, yours and mine. A story we can engage with, we can enter into, we can be changed by. And it's a story told by Jesus, a story of the prodigal son. Story of the loving Father. It doesn't matter who you are this morning and where you come from. It doesn't matter if you're religious or not. Jesus is speaking in this story to both sinners and to saints, to Pharisees and tax collectors, to you and to me. And in this story that Jesus tells, we find an amazing truth that shows us the nature of our sin and our brokenness as people. Shows us the pathway back home to God. The God who invites us to come as we are. And to become who He made us to be. This story, as you heard, begins with a man and his two sons. And the younger son who chooses to run from his father. He comes to his father and he asks for his inheritance. Father, give me my share of the estate. And so the father divided his property between them. As you know, the inheritance, our inheritance is something that is usually reserved for when our parents die, that they give us after they have died. And yet this son has all these dreams of running away from home, of enjoying his freedom away from his father. And so days after receiving his inheritance, he runs away from home. He leaves his father for dead, his brother in debt, and he runs away to this distant country where he wastes his money, it says, on wild living, reckless living, spending on things that will not last. Finally, his money runs out, his friends leave. And there is this famine on the land. And this boy is forced to do for a stranger, someone he didn't know, something he would not do for his own father. He works. He's desperate. He's doing the worst thing that a Jewish boy could ever do. He is feeding pigs, longing to eat with pigs. Things cannot get any worse. And Jesus uses this part, this scene in the story, to show us what really happens when we turn our backs on God. When we live as though God doesn't exist. When we take ourselves out of God's plan and purpose for our lives. When we run away from God, like this son, I'm out of here. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going my own one way. Absolutely, we feel free to begin. That's why we run, because we think it is freedom. And yet sooner or later, reality catches up with us. It's a little bit like bungee jumping. I've never been bungee jumping and I'm too afraid, I think, I would be to jump. And so I'm guessing here, but it feels like you're free all the way down as you fall. Until the reality of your attachments pull back. Some of us, we attach ourselves to money. Money is so important. Some of us, maybe possessions. Some of us, our position, our job. Some of us, people. That special someone we've been looking for. We attach ourselves to things other than God until sooner or later we discover it's the rope pulls tight, that they cannot hold us. And that is life without God. As much as it promises freedom, it leaves us enslaved. As much as it promises enjoyment, it can lead to emptiness. It promises us relationships, it can leave us alone. It promises life. The Bible says it gives us death. Some of us this morning maybe have reached that place. We've had all these promises and people who have let us down, left us hurting and alone at the end of ourselves. And there is hope, this story says. There is a way home. And it starts in the same place as it does for this son. Starts when we come to the end of ourselves, the end of our resources, and when we choose to turn and come home. As this son sits among the pigs, the truth of his situation sinks in. He's lost. He's alone. He's struggling to even live. And then he remembers life at home. He remembers the love of the Father. And he decides to return, to repent, to reach out. Father, I have sinned, he says, against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hands. Do you see the change of heart in this story? I wish you were dead. I'm leaving. I want you here. The change of direction. Get me out of here. Father, let me come home. And so this long walk begins home. This walk of shame. And you know, I think all of us can identify with this feeling of shame in this son. We live in a culture where we are meant to have our lives all together. Or at least appear like we do. We've become so ashamed of our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our failures, that we're afraid to let others in. Afraid to open ourselves up to God and to ask Him for help. Sometimes we spend our whole lives, or we spend years, our whole lives, trying to earn God's love and affection. Trying to make right the mistakes we have made. And yet that is where Christianity is so different. And so difficult sometimes to understand. Because God invites us to come. As we are. To come broken hearted. To come empty handed. In fact, that's the only way we can come to God. Because it's not our actions that make us right. But our orientation towards Jesus. Towards His life. Towards His death. And His resurrection. That is what leads us back home. Back to the Father. Back into the loving arms of God. And that is what we see in this next scene. This stunning welcome of the Father. Who shows us that it doesn't matter how far we have fallen or strayed. When we stop running and turn to God. He embraces us and welcomes us home. While he was still a long way off, the Father saw him, his son, and was filled with compassion and ran to him. And threw his arms around him and kissed him again and again and again. Can you imagine this moment? We don't know how long the son has been gone. Days, weeks, months. But the father has been watching. And he has been waiting. And he has been praying for his son's return. And the moment this speck appears on the horizon, he does the unthinkable for a Jewish man. He runs. He runs to meet his smelly, dirty, unclean son on the road. No judgment, No condemnation. No, I told you so. He doesn't even let him finish his confession and allow him to offer to make up his mistakes with his good works. His father just throws his arms around him, kisses him again and again and again. Why? Because his lost son is found. His lost son is home. His son who was dead is alive. Now, in case you're wondering, even in today's situation, that is not necessarily the normal pattern or behaviour of a father. When I moved to Melbourne, shortly after moving to Melbourne, I would go home. And my dad is known to say in the nicest possible way, "It's great to have you home, but it's always good to see the back of you when you go." And I hadn't done anything wrong. Maybe he spent a little bit of his money. The son, by all rights, should have been stoned. He should have been killed, put to death by his community. And yet what does the father do? He shows him grace, mercy, forgiveness. He loves him, he embraces him, he clothes him, he restores him to the family, and most of all, he throws this incredible, incredible party where he invites his friends, his neighbours, his family to come and celebrate with him. And that's what God is like. That's what Jesus wants us to know. That's what God is like. That's how God loves. That's how he loves you and me. He loves us so deeply that he came to us. He came to us in Jesus, who lived and who died on the cross. For you and for me. So that no matter how far we have strayed from God, no matter how deeply we have sinned and fallen, no matter how unworthy we feel, the moment we turn to God, he comes to us. He pours out his love, his grace, his forgiveness. And he brings us life. He gives us life. He brings us back into his family. And he throws this kind of party. I want you to imagine for the moment the God who made everything, this whole world, who made you and me, throws this cosmic party that stretches all the way from heaven into earth because of you, his son, his daughter, whom he loves, who is lost, but has come home, who is dead, but has been given life. God wants to throw a party for you and for me. And unlike the older son, our role as a church is to welcome people home. Doesn't matter who they are, where they come from, what they have done, what they look like. As a church, we have open arms. We say, welcome home. Welcome to this church. Welcome to God's family. Welcome into the family of Jesus. As we finish this morning, my prayer is that this story, this incredible story of Jesus, that speaks to every language and every culture, would speak to your heart and mine again. That we would hear the invitation of Jesus to stop living like this son, to stop running and living on our own for ourselves, and to come to God. Doesn't matter how far you have run. It doesn't matter what you have done. Doesn't matter how unworthy you feel. This story shows us that God loves us. He loves you. And he wants to welcome you home. To become his children. To become all that he made you to be. Through the death of his son, Jesus, he offers grace, forgiveness. He offers life greater than we could ever imagine. And all we do, all we can do is change our orientation toward Jesus. To believe in Jesus. And he gives us something we could never earn ourselves. He gives us life. Life with him. Life for all eternity. And that is the heart of God. The God who loves us more than we will ever know. The God who pleads and watches and waits for us, come home. Come home. If you don't know this love this morning, this idea of Jesus is new and you're not sure and you've got questions, I would love to talk with you and to pray with you and to tell you about Jesus. But for some of us here this morning, maybe we're a little like the older son. Maybe we've lost our passion. We've stopped celebrating. We've become afraid to welcome people who aren't like us in. We've lost the joy of seeing people come home to God. And if that's the case, I would love to pray with you as well. Because this story shows us the heart of God. Shows us the love of God. Shows us the incredible gift of Jesus. It can bring anyone, the most distant, the most dirty, the most broken home to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story. That your incredible love. God, we thank you for the person of Jesus who has shown us that love on the cross. God, if Jesus is new, God, I pray that you would continue to show us more about who he is and what he has done and the incredible love you have, that he would die to welcome us home. God, and if we have lost a sense of how incredible and awesome and amazing that is, God, I pray that you would remind us, this story would speak to us and would give us hearts open to all people who are lost, who are alone, who are hurting, and yet who are loved by you. God, we pray that you would show us each our brokenness and our sin. You would cause us to turn and see Jesus for who he is and what he's done. And that we would respond and experience your love and your welcome home. Because you are the God who loves us. The God who saves us. The God who changes us so that we can be here together in Christ as one people. From every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every language, all over the world. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.